at the beach and started having some issues, which resulted in her having a pacemaker put in. So she's had quite a week, and that's Phyllis Wallace's daughter. So we want to pray for her. We want to remember everybody who can't be with us, but would love to be with us. There are many on our roll that are not able to come, so we want to pray for them this morning. And I'm so glad you're here. This table, they're usually full. Where are they? I have to go send my bounty hunters over. Oh, you've moved. Carolyn's moved, I see. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into our lesson. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your name together. We praise you for the beauty of the day. We praise you for your wonderful glory. Father, this morning as we study together, we ask you to take this lesson and just apply it to our hearts. I pray that you will help me to communicate effectively. I just ask you, Father, to bless every home represented. We pray for everyone who was not able to be with us this morning, but who may listen during the week. We ask you to bless her. We pray, Father, that you will restore and bring back those who really long to be here. Now, Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear this morning, and we bless your name together, and it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. This is lesson 9 in our series we're calling Sent. Now, what's the most precious thing to you? It should be your salvation, right? When it all boils down to the very bottom line, our most precious reality is the fact that we've been born again. And the gospel really is good news. And I'll tell you why. Paul tells us in Romans 1, right there on your handout. Look at it with me. In verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, why, Paul? Why are you so bold with the gospel? Why do you always go around sharing the gospel? It's the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. He says, well, here's why. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. You have to have the gospel to be born again. It's for anyone. It's for everyone who will take it and believe it. Now think about it with me. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. I'm just going to tell you some things that the Bible tells us about ourselves. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. The Bible says we were blind. We could not see. The Bible tells us that we were under God's wrath and we were headed on that wide road with everybody else that leads to destruction, and that's where we were until the light of the good news of the glorious gospel of Jesus was preached and was shared with us. It was at that time we didn't open our own eyes. We did not raise from the dead on our own. The Holy Spirit was all involved. And it was the Holy Spirit that opened our eyes to understand. It was the Holy Spirit that brought life. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed to us just how bankrupt we were. It was the Holy Spirit that showed us that Jesus was the only way that would lead to coming into God's forever family. In that gospel, we find, even though we were desperately lost, desperately needy, Jesus came to earth to live, to die, to rise again for the very purpose of rescuing us. And apart from him, we are without hope in this world. Now, that's what the Bible tells us. He came, he offered us life. This gift of eternal life. He offered us forgiveness of our sins. And it was the Holy Spirit himself who actually birthed us into the body of Christ. And then he himself took up residence in our very bodies, and the transformation journey began in our lives. Oh my gosh. It was the best day ever for me. He washed my sins away. I was gloriously saved. Now, can you just praise God with me this morning as we begin our lesson for God's salvation? Can you? Can you just say with me, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, I'm so very grateful for what you've done for me. And what should we do because of all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord? What should our response be? You see, Jesus has saved us, and now he's giving us our marching orders. He's given us the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great official commission given to you and to me. Let's read it out of Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to the disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." Now, we were saved, but it's just not so we can just, just while away till heaven comes. No, we're saved, and then our lives have a purpose. We're sent out to be lights in our world, to share the gospel in our world. That's the purpose of these lessons. Let's write down the purpose. The first purpose is to stir us up with a desire. With a desire to go into our worlds. We're realizing that God has given us his Holy Spirit as our power source. It's not that we go out in our own strength. No, he's in us. He gets stirred up in us. He moves us out. He's the one who is guiding us. He's the one who's setting up all of those divine appointments in our world. He's the one who is going before us and opening hearts and minds and eyes of those in our world. Look at John 15:5. We just say this morning, apart from him, we can do nothing, right? So that was the first purpose in the beginning of our lessons. And then we move to a second purpose, and I want you to write it on your handout. And that is to equip us with tools as we go out. So we've been putting in our lessons for the last 3 Sundays, and this is our 4th Sunday. We've been learning about gospel tools to put in our toolbox. Let's write down what gospel tool number 1 was. I have to do this because some of you were not here, right? But I taught a whole lesson on each one of these, but I'm just going to touch on it. And the first gospel tool was training ourselves to see other people as Jesus does. And we went to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus certainly saw something in her that the disciples did not see. And she got saved. And she was actually the first person that Jesus revealed to that he was the Messiah. The disciples were amazed. They couldn't believe it. There he was. He was talking to her. She left. He wouldn't even eat his biggie bag. Remember, they went to Wendy's. He got the biggie bag. He said, "I've got things to eat you don't even know about." They started saying, "Well, somebody feed him? What happened? It's lunch. We're men. Men eat, right?" I don't know very many men that miss a meal. And Jesus said, look guys, look up. Look up. I tell you, lift up your eyes. And there were all the people from the town coming to him because the woman at the well had run into town. Come meet the Messiah. I've met the Messiah. He's at the well. And they all came to the well. And Jesus said, "Look, I'm telling you, disciples, look up, lift up your eyes. See that the fields are white unto harvest." And there you are each day. You're in your workplace. You're in Walmart, you're at the gym, you're at your job. And I want to say this morning, look up. Lift up your eyes and see. There are lost people all around you. They're everywhere you look. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just really, really tickled pink just to stay in my little holy huddle. I love my little holy huddle. You know, it's us four and no more. And we just have the best time together. But Teresa, God is saying, I want you to look up. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to see your world like Jesus sees your world. The field and the harvest is there. It's white unto harvest. It's all around you. And I'm sending you out with my glorious gospel. And to help us to do this, you had the opportunity to join a campaign. I called it the What Do You See campaign. And it was a 30-day campaign that began on July 21st. This coming week is going to be our last week in our campaign. But it was designed to help us to stop and notice the people that God is putting in our path. And so sometime during the day, you get a text, what do you see? I wanted you to stop and look up for people. Look for people. Who can you see? Now, if you're at home by yourself, we also filled a little card and put five names of five lost people in our world that I wanted to ask you to begin praying for. So if you're by yourself and you get that text, then I want you to pull that little card out. I want you to pray for the people on your list. But it's a campaign designed to help us train ourselves to see others as Jesus does. And so what am I to do? Well, I see someone. I'm at Walmart. Lord, I don't know if these people are saved. But Lord, I want to just, as I'm shopping, pray, God, would you send your spirit to call them? Would you send someone to share the gospel? You know, you might even want to speak an encouraging word, give a smile, ask a thoughtful question. You never know, it might just start a conversation that may open up a space right then or later to talk more deeply about their spiritual life. Now, if you're today's your first time in these lessons and you want to be a part of the last week of that campaign, I'm going to put some, I forgot to put them out, but I've got them. I'll put a sheet out. You can sign up today. All right, let's go to gospel tool number two. We called it gathering and caring. Gathering and caring. So you look around. There you are. You get your text. You stop. You look up. And there's the harvest right in front of you. Well, what are you going to do? Well, you've got to ask yourself some questions. And the first thing you say is this: what are the physical and emotional needs of those around me? What are the physical and emotional needs? And then I say another question, ask another question: what are the interests of those around me? I'm making mental notes. And then you know what I do? I take initiative to get involved in the lives of other people. Gathering, caring. We had a whole lesson on that. Here's gospel tool number three. And that was last week. Develop curiosity. Develop curiosity. Now we got this out of Philippians 2:4. Let's read it. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. I've got to get curious about you. What are you interested in? This is perfectly illustrated in the story of the Good Samaritan who looked past his own schedule, his own interest, and he responded to the needs and the worth and the interest of another person. And we saw the way to truly cultivate a heart that takes an interest in others was to make curiosity a fundamental part of our lives. I've got to want to learn different things about you, new information about you. And when I do that, it shows that I care. It's actually the secret juice of relationships, and it's a powerful way for me to love others and to hold them in high regard. It's setting my heart to every day wanting to discover more about the person who is before me as I go through my day. I have to learn to be in the moment. Does God just give you moments sometimes? But you've got your list and you're so busy. Can you put your list aside and be in the moment with a person? Because each person we encounter has been made in the very image of God. This is a wonderful way. Being curious is a wonderful way of building bridges to take the gospel to other people. Just simply, listen, it's so simple. It's just simply being interested in other people. You know, I quit talking about myself. And this is hard for me. I quit talking about my grandchildren. Well, we could talk for hours. Instead, I'm curious about you. I want to know about you. Now, we had a full lesson on each of those. But this morning, we come to one of my favorites. And I want you to write it down. Gospel tool number 4 is your story. Your story. Living a sent life means God sends you out. And look, you have stories to tell. Now, write this down. They are powerful. In fact, one of the most powerful tools we possess is the ability to tell our stories of transformation in order to showcase God in our lives and that He's at work. Write this down. Each of our stories is unique. And then this, they are orchestrated by God, who positions us right where we are to intersect with the lives of others as we share the stories of our life. Your story of personal transformation in Christ could very well serve as the exact thing to reach the heart of a person that God has put into your path. Why, your story might just be for them. And only you can tell it because of who you are. Why, you might have something to say that not another person can say. Who but you can describe that glorious mimosa tree in the middle of the summer at your grandparents' home that you used to climb? Who but you can tell the times in your life that God showed up just in the nick of time to provide for you in some amazing way? Who but you can share of the many, many personal answered prayers that God has given you in your life? I'll never forget the time God connected me so powerfully with another person's story. It happened in San Diego, California, at the most beautiful hotel I believe I've ever stayed in. It's called the Hotel Del. It's this big Victorian hotel. And it's very old, and it's built right there by the water. In fact, they built it too close, but back then they didn't have all their requirements in place, and so it's so old, and there it is. Bill had just become the Mississippi representative for the state on the board of the Independent Bankers of America. This was his very first meeting. Bankers from all over the United States were there. I did not know one single person in that group. This was happening during the time that we were walking through cancer with Sissy, and I was really struggling. The whole trial of that cancer with her was just like being on a roller coaster. I was a young Christian, kind of, because I was only like 10 years into my faith. I was wondering, because the trial was so difficult, I felt like, God, are you really there? God, do you really see what I'm walking through? God, do you know how desperate I feel? God, are you really going to be able to see me through? Have you ever been there? I had experienced his presence powerfully at the very beginning of the trial. But now I'd been in it for over a year, and I was weary. And I have to be honest with you, it was a fight of faith. Some days I was strong, some days I was oh so weak. I had to run to him when those anxious moments would come in waves. At the very beginning, God spoke so powerfully to us through Philippians 4:13, which says, you know, be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And literally in the beginning, that peace was standing guard. But then there were times in the journey when anxiety was trying to really jump on me. But there was something in particular that was tormenting my mind, as if we didn't have enough to deal with just going through her treatments. And I'll tell you what it was. Each time I would take her to the doctor would tell me that, now you know, she would say, Sissy's had radiation. She had three ports, here, here, and here. Now you know, she would say, she's probably going to have distorted facial features because of the radiation therapy. Because a bone that's been radiated ceases to grow. But all the other bones would continue to grow. And just the thought of my daughter having a deformed face just broke my heart. It tormented me. It was a miracle that I was even able to go with Bill on that trip, but it just so happened how it fell in the course of her treatment that I could go. And Bill knew it was a much needed break for me. And so I went. I got up that first morning and I decided to go to the spouse's breakfast. I walked into a room, and it was a very large room. It was filled with large round tables, probably about 10 women sitting around each table. I just picked a spot. I sat down. I began meeting the women at that table. They were from all over the United States, and I just started chatting with the lady next to me. She was about 20 years older than me, and she was about 1 out of 100 women in that room that morning. And as we talked, she was very curious about me. She was asking me questions. And I mentioned to her that my 8-year-old daughter was dealing with cancer in the course of the conversation. What kind of cancer is it? She asked me. I said, well, it's actually a very rare kind of cancer. It's called rhabdomyosarcoma. Now, that's a cancer that can grow in any muscle in your body. Okay? And she said, well, where did they find it? And I said, well, it was right in the center of her head. It was right in her nasal pharynx. She looked right at me and she said, Teresa, God has seated you here. My son had rhabdo when he was 8 years old, and he had it in the very same place. Well, we moved to the lobby, and we spent around 3 hours. And I cannot tell you how encouraged I was. I said to her, do you happen to have a picture of your son? Because he was grown. He was married. She said, I sure do. She pulled that picture out, And looking at that picture, I saw a handsome, normal-looking man. I just can't tell you what that did for me. He was doing well. He was married. Now, isn't it just like God to pick me up in Brookhaven, Mississippi, take me all the way to the Hotel Del in San Diego, California, pick her up out of Pennsylvania, bring her also to the Hotel Del, and sit us right next to each other? She loved Jesus. She had a story to tell me that could fill me with hope. A story that was exactly like my own story. Her story had power in my life. She and her husband were strong believers. And then when our husbands were done with their meetings that day, the four of us met again in the lobby, and we just shared, and they encouraged us tremendously. And when we returned home, we were both infused with new energy to face the trial that we were walking through. Now, I'm wondering this morning, did my story impact you as you were listening? Did my story cause you to have wonder and awe of God and make you just want to worship Him? Because isn't He sweet? He's just so sweet. Did my story encourage you? Did my story fill you with hope? Did my story fill you with love? Did it give you joy? You see, to understand that God is real, that God is involved in our lives, to understand we're His daughters, to understand He cares. You see, telling our stories is one of the most effective forms of human communications. We have a need for story that's embedded deep within our brains. We tend to think of sharing the gospel in our lives only maybe sharing a tract or coming logically to try to win you to Christ through logical arguments. But the truth is, there's nothing like your very own story of transformation. You've heard of something like the state of the art technology. Well, look at your handout. A story is the state of the heart technology. Now look at me and listen to what I'm going to say to you this morning. You have a story. You say, well, I don't have one like that one, Teresa. But you do have one. You have a story. It is your story of how you came out of darkness. It is a story that is unique to you, and listen, only you can tell your story. And when you tell your story to others, it causes them to engage with you differently from when you were just telling them facts or arguments. That's because God has designed us to enjoy a story. Our hearts, our brains are just hardwired that way to enjoy stories of transformation. Even Jesus told stories. He taught in parables, as well as presenting scriptures and giving strong arguments. Now look this morning with me at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And there Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Oh, that all sounds so good. But why? Why not all those things? Look at why. Look what the result is to be. That you may do what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen to me. You are a chosen person, chosen in order, according to this verse, so that you will speak in your world the excellencies of God. God is giving us a biblical invitation to go out and share our stories. Look at Psalm 66:16. Come, hear, all you who fear God. and I will tell what he has done for my soul. Oh, I missed 107 too. That's the best one. Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord open their mouth and say so. Psalm 71:15, we read, here the psalmist speaks. He speaks all day long the things of the Lord and the miracles. Look at it with me. In verse 15, he says, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. And look at Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. And then he goes on in the next 30 verses to tell all the wonderful acts of God. David has a story to tell. David has a song he wants to sing about. Look at Psalm 71:18. Now, I love this one because I'm old. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me. Don't forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. I have a mandate. I need to be sharing with the generation after me that's coming the wonderful works of God. You see, our personal stories are one of the most critical assets in living as sent women of God. We need to be gathering our God stories. All the time when God was at work in your life, bringing you to the point of salvation. But your story doesn't stop there. You see, that was just the first chapter. That's how you got into the Christian journey. How God dealt with you. How God saved you. That's just chapter one. There are many, many other chapters that follow on that story, like the story of any time God caused you to surrender any area of your life to him, or the time God provided for you in a miraculous way to meet your needs. And then we have 1,000 little, I call them love notes from God in our lives. They're just little paragraphs. All the little things that God has done, all the times that he has shown up. How did he lead you into your career? You see, one day Bill just walked in a bank, and it just so happened that banker there said, Bill, have you ever thought about banking? What a perfect career for Bill. And it just happened because one day he walked in a bank. That was a God story. I have a whole lifetime of God's stories. But here's the deal. Do my children know them? Do my grandchildren know them? They should, because God has been very real to me. God has been a very present help in the day of trouble. God has been very personal. God has never failed me. And yes, there are those painful stories when I was walking and got off track, and he had to correct me, and he had to discipline me. Those stories are important too. So this gospel tool is all about gathering our most important God stories so that I may share them in my world in order to produce awe in the lives of other people, in order to put God on display, in order to make people thirst and want what I have. So where do? You begin by asking this question. This morning, what is the story in your life that you tell everyone about? You see, the world has stories too. They tell all kinds of stories, you know, moments in their life that shaped who they are, or moments that describe how they got in their vocation, or moments that define why they care so deeply about certain ideas. But for every Christian, they're God stories. Our most significant life stories involving God working in my life. My salvation story. A surrender story. A story of miraculous blessing. A story where God answered prayer. A story of when God rescued me from something. A story, for example, He rescued me from sin. He rescued me from myself. He rescued me from something else. I wonder, have you ever actually told your story to another person of when you became a Christian? Where were you when it happened? How old were you? What do you remember about the time of day, the place? What did the room look like? What was going on that made you need Jesus so much? Why did you cry out to Him? And as you write your story down, themes may surface, themes like you needed someone to trust who wouldn't fail you. Themes like you needed to be rescued from a toxic situation. Themes like you needed love that would never fail you. Now, I'm going to give you 1 minute. I want you to write down the three most important life stories involving the Lord's work in your life. Your first one's going to be your salvation story, so go ahead and put that on there. Think of two other stories in your life. Just jot down a key word. Jot down something that'll stir your memory. And I don't want you to lose this handout. You're going to need it next week. All right, now look at the stories that you wrote down, these stories that come to mind. I want you to think about yourself as being a character in the story. So write that on your handout. You're the main character in the story. And here's what you have, and write this down. You have a before experience in your story. A before experience. And then you have a during experience. And then you have an after experience. Now, as you're thinking about these stories, I want you, write this down, to think of the sensory details. The stronger the verbs you use, the more pictures you paint with your words. It makes your story take on power and become more effective. Think about using details that involve your five senses, sights and sounds and textures and tastes and smells, perhaps the time of the day. Those are going to help other people connect. Teresa, who would listen to my story anyway? There are people all around you that need to hear your story. They're searching for love that will never fail. They need rescue. They need healing. Maybe they're dealing with betrayal. They need your story. And there's one more thing to include in your story. Write it down. Always include a passage of Scripture. It may be the one that God actually used during that time, or it may be another that you find in the Bible that works in with your story. One that your story actually sets up to spotlight. Now, why is it important to use Scripture in your story? And this is why. Scripture is living and Scripture is powerful. A story without God's word is just a good story, but it doesn't bring the same power as Scripture. So including Scripture in our God stories is a way to cultivate the soil of a listener's heart. It's like the farmer. He's sowing the seed. It's like the royal priest. He's bringing God's word. Now look at Romans 10:17 for a reason. Because you see, faith comes by hearing. You have to believe to be saved. How am I going to help you believe? How am I going to help stimulate faith in your life? Here's how. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing what? The Word of God. My word is, you enjoy my story. But what is the thing that's going to bring faith? It's the Word of God. And look at 1 Thessalonians 2 there. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, Paul says, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really was, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. You see, God's word has power. So here's the formula that I want you to use to write your own God story. Number one, the before scene. Where were you? What time was it? What did you look like? What were you feeling? What were you experiencing? Number two, the struggle. What was the problem that God needed to solve? What were you struggling with? Then the after. What happened when you prayed or when you surrendered to God? How did He change you? How did He change your situation? And then number four, Scripture. What passage of Scripture can you find that best represents God's work in this story? I want you to listen to 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Our stories set the stage for the Word of God to shine. It's the word that makes us wise unto salvation. Now, here's your homework. Gospel tool number one. So easy. Stop, look up, and pray. That doesn't require me to get out of my comfort zone at all, right? Gospel tool number two, gather, care. I've got to get outside myself and do a little work there. Then I have to be curious, and I'm being curious with people, but here's your homework for next week. I want you to go home, and I want you to write down a story, a God story. It could be your salvation story. It could be another story like I shared with you this morning from San Diego, a time when God was very powerful in your life. I want it to be 2 to 3 minutes long. I want you to write it down. And then next week, I would love for many of you to read your story. Just come right up here to this microphone. 2 to 3 minutes. That's why I want you to write it down. I don't want you just to stand up and start rambling. I want you to think about your words. I want you to use the formula I gave you. The before, the struggle, the after, and a scripture. You need to have at least two of these stories in your toolbox. Your salvation story, another God story. And you're ready at any time to share your story with another person, to put God on display. Now, I put my telephone number right there. Now, look at me. I'm giving you an opportunity. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm going to give you an opportunity next week just to come up here and read your story. You don't have to be demonstrative. You don't have to memorize it. No, just bring it up here and read your story. 2 to 3 minutes. Now, if you would be willing to be a redeemed person that will say so, you better pray about this before you say, oh, no, I never do that. Look around this room. We love each other in this room, right? I know many of your God stories, but your sisters don't know your God stories. What a blessing if we could stand up and testify to what God has done in our life. So if you would be willing to spend a little time this week, write it down. That's my requirement. Don't come up here and just talk off the cuff. I want you to write it down. Take the time. Use the format. Before, struggle, after, scripture. 2 to 3 minutes. And read your story. You know what? It would just bless everybody in this room. Your stories may be just the story somebody in this room needs to hear to be encouraged. It also will help your sisters get to know you better. We're a big class, and we always sit at the same table. How are we ever going to meet each other? I really thought about doing fruit basket turnover, but I'm afraid I would make some of you mad. You'd never come back. That has happened before. All right, my number is on there, 835-9623. If you would be willing to share a 2 to 3 minute testimony, I want you to text me and say, I will share. And please give me your name. I think I have all of your numbers, but I may not have everybody's number. Okay. If you would be willing to share, you text me. Let's close with Psalm 96, 2 and 3. It offers this invitation. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. You, your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, they need to hear your stories. They're waiting to hear your stories. You see, as you gather and as you care and as you're curious with people, they're going to talk to you, and then you're going to talk back to them. And you can share your stories, you see. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you would move on the hearts of these ladies to say so. Stand up here and tell of the wonderful things that God has done. I ask you to bless us this week. I ask you, Father, to just do amazing things in our life. Help us, Father, to stop and look up and see the harvest and to gather people and care about others and to be curious about them and not just our own interests but their interests too. And then to take the time this week to really write our story. And then next week, bless us as we listen to each other's stories. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those who didn't come today, they're so glad they're not here because they're not going to have to struggle.